Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to AWOD Radio here on the new sports radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. Joining us right now on the Hadid Merce Rug Cleaning hot seat, it's our buddy Michael Phillips. What's going on, MP?
This is so appropriate. We're about to talk about the Washington Wizards in the NBA draft, and we just took a commercial.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it seems like that happens for every DC sports team. It was a Redskins thing, a Commanders
tradition.
Thing forever. For the Wizards last night, it happened at pick 6, at pick 18, and then they trade pick 18. It can't actually happen at pick 21. It happened at pick 21.
It's deliberate at this point. It's got to be deliberate.
They only took 4 commercial breaks, and 3 of them were during the Washington Wizards selection while they were on the clock. I mean, that goes back to my take from a couple months ago when Washington lost the lottery. The NBA doesn't care about Washington. They don't want Washington. They view us as a mid-major market. Like, they're not going to commercial break during the Mavericks pick or the Lakers pick.
No, this is... It's annoying because, like, everybody's like, oh, Oklahoma City, it's a small market team. But they talk about Oklahoma City. Like, we're somehow a big market team that gets talked about like a small market team.
Yeah. It's pretty clear that Adam Silver was told, probably by David Stern, who was told probably by Larry O'Brien, that Washington is a football town. And it will never be a basketball town. As much as we want it to be, as much as Georgetown was great, and then the Wizards won their one title, the 80s and 90s were dominated by football. And the last 30 years, even though they've been bad, we've been dominated by football.
But I think this could be a basketball town. Like, I think if the Wizards were consistently good and had star players, I think it could turn into, in the same way, go back to the 90s and explain to everybody, it's a hockey town. They sell out every game. People watch the playoffs on TV. I mean, no, they don't. That'll never happen. Like, it just takes one star, one team, one run, and they're close with the Paul Pierce Wiz, but it wasn't enough to, like, build those habits in.
Yeah, I never thought they were ever going to get over the hump with that, you know, cast of characters that they had there. Certainly a lot of characters on that squad. But the good thing is I trust the front office in place, Michael Winger and Will Dawkins. I like the moves they're making. They're wheeling and dealing behind the scenes. They already made a few trades and then had a good draft last night. I'll break that down on the fast break with AWOD. We got Michael Phillips with us, which means it's time for Crosstalk on the Fan.
If I could just have your attention.
It's Crosstalk with Adam Epstein and Michael Phillips on The Fan. It's like that one 90s movie that everybody loved. What's the name of that movie? It's not Crosstalk, but it sounds like Crosstalk. It's Crosstalk on The Fan. Oh, Face Off with Travolta and Nick Cage. But this is Crosstalk.
Now, Michael is the host of a very popular radio show, but I wanted to give a shout-out to your website, therichmonder.org, because I really liked the breakdown of the heat wave in Richmond. I read that this morning. I'm just blown away by how hot it is. Michael, I know we didn't grow up in the same parts of the country, but it feels like it didn't get this hot when I was a kid.
And Sean Sublett, our meteorologist and resident Penn State football fan, big Penn State football guy, shout out Michael Robinson, broke it down. When we were growing up, there was one day a year on average where it got to 100 degrees. And here we are. Yesterday was day 3 of 100 degrees in Richmond. So we're smashing the records.
Yeah, and I guess the weather app on your phone has a little feature I didn't know about. My friends put me onto it, where it tells you it feels like blank. So it said 100, and then it said, feels like 112.
Ooh.
Are you kidding me?
That's too many. It's too many degrees.
Are we living in Texas?
It's too many degrees. You can't live like that. I walk from the studio to my car. I'm like, all right, that's enough for me. Like, I got to take a nap and a shower now.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's like, and I try to get outside so much during the summer, especially in Richmond, with all the great rooftop bars and breweries and the river. There's so much to do. But I felt like I was trapped inside my house because it was miserable outside.
Yeah. There are days where it's too, like, today, like, what are we, 85 today? We can work through that. I'm going to go watch soccer today because, as you know, nobody's a bigger soccer fan than me. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to go outside and watch some soccer today. We can work with 85. We can work with 90. Like, when it's 100, you go to the pool and you get in and you're like, the pool is actually too warm to get in.
Yeah. No, that's it. That's all it is. Michael Phillips with us here, MP on the mic. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio. You texted me an article yesterday. I said, Kempski strikes again.
Yeah, every year.
Jimmy Kempski from Philly Voice comes out with a list every single year. 10 reasons the Commanders will be a dumpster fire this season. And if you're a fan of the show, if you're a listener, AWOD Army, a P1, checking out the podcast, you know every year I unload on Jimmy Kempski. Because this article pisses me off so much to my core. I'm a diehard Commanders fan. We were just talking about, can Washington be, you know, a basketball town? I don't think people in D.C. bleed anything else other than burgundy and gold. And that is the most important thing in my life, the Commanders. I always talk about how I live and die with them on Sunday. So when he comes out with this article, 10 reasons the Commanders will be a dumpster fire, it gets on my nerves.
I need this today. I'm gonna grab the Odyssey app. I'm bouncing to DC right after this. I'm gonna grab the Odyssey app. I need this because every year I read this and I laugh at it. This year I read it and like the little voice in the back of my head was like, he might be right. And I need you. I need you to tell me he's not right. He's wrong.
10 reasons the Commanders will be a dumpster fire this season. One reason, one show at a time. Here on AWOD Radio over the next 10 days. Number one, regression is coming. When I see that, my initial reaction is, yeah, but I'd be fine with 11 wins. I'm telling everybody, give me 10 wins and a home playoff game, and we can lose by 50, and I will still consider that a successful season.
10 wins, sign on the dotted line, and a play. At 10, you're not hosting a playoff game, though, right?
You could. We hosted a playoff game with 7 wins, Michael.
That was
anything
a year.
Can happen.
That was a year. I remember that. That was the thing that happened.
I kind of, look, the Philadelphia is the question right there. Can they actually win less than 10 games?
Yeah.
With that roster, you'd need a major injury. But I think it's a possibility.
Or you tie them and you get the tiebreaker last week of the year.
And we do have 2 of the final 3 games against Philly,
yeah,
with Dallas and New York squeezed in. So we really could make up some ground and end up winning the division. But so, yeah, regression is coming. 10 wins is fine for a regression. And yeah, Philadelphia regressed after they made it to the Super Bowl and lost. Now, what happened a couple years later? Yeah. They won the damn thing.
Yeah, Philly's got this weird roller coaster thing where you can't expect consistency from the Eagles at all. I want consistency. I want to expect it. And 10 is great. If you get 10, that's consistency to me. Back-to-back double-digit win seasons. I have the list in front of me, but it's been a long time since that happened here.
Yeah, no, you're right about that. And that's why it's all about, for me, consistently making into the postseason.
Yeah.
I feel like when you consistently get in there, you will eventually break through. I'm not saying we're going to be the Chiefs dynasty that every year they get in there, they end up winning the AFC Championship. Or even like the Eagles with their recent success of, hey, they've gotten in and then made it to the Super Bowl. The Giants won 2 Super Bowls as wild card teams, right? So it's just all about if you get into the dance and you're healthy, you certainly have a chance.
I distinctly remember being 60 minutes away from the Super Bowl as a wild card team last year. The Rams, I mean, played the Eagles to within this close in the snow there in Philly. Yeah, I couldn't agree more. If you're in the dance, you got a chance to be the last one standing, maybe not in the AFC, but in the NFC, there's no can't miss team like there is in the AFC.
Yeah, and look, obviously Washington only won 4 games in 2023, and nobody saw a jump like that to 12 wins. Even the lunatic radio host on Football Fest predicted 10, and that was crazy.
It was.
He had to take his shirt off to make it worth it.
It was.
But from 4 wins to 12, you know, what is a big step back? You know, I think below 8 would be a big step back.
Oh, yeah. You know, and 9's going to be unsettling for some people if it's 9 and not a playoff appearance. Their point is teams that make this big of a jump step backwards. My counterpoint on that is it's a different team. Like,
right.
Those were not... That was not a team that improved year over year. That was literally a different team. They ran everybody out of the building. They brought in a whole new team. They ran the coaching staff out of the building. They brought in a whole new coaching staff. I don't see the parallels here.
No, and also every other team that is used as an example of this was before the year 2020. The NFL has changed since then. And when you have a Jaden Daniels, yeah. It changes everything. I also like... I don't know that all these teams that made these big jumps and then regressed had the situation Washington has with a competent GM, a really solid leader of men and a coach, an exciting offensive coordinator, an exciting defense coordinator, and your star quarterback. That's the big part of it, too.
The consistency is so much. You know, that we were talking about the Lions on my show. Same thing, right? You lose both coordinators. What happens? And you don't know. It's a big wild card. They have to take advantage of this, because if they play well this year, they will not be the same team in 2026. Everybody sees that.
What is more likely, and this is going to sound crazy, 3 wins up, 3 wins down?
Damn.
12 to 9? Or 12 to 15.
Yeah, 15 is such a... Look at this schedule. The AFC West, the NFC North. 9's far more likely than 15. If, I mean, honestly, you got to give me like 13 or 9 if we're going to play that game. Like, this is such a tough schedule compared to... I think if they played the way they played last year against this schedule, this might have been a 10-win team last year.
Yeah, and I'm pretty confident we're going to get to that 10-win total.
I like that. I like that confidence. And Pinata at Football Fest.
Absolutely. August 16th. 2025 River City Roll. It'll be 6 to 10 p.m. Michael will be with me for a full football season preview. We'll have prizes, we'll have special guests, pizzas banging. River City Roll, August 16th here this year. You're listening to AWOD Radio on the Fan. Don't go anywhere, I'll be right back.
Listen up, football fans, you won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new sports radio 910 The Fan. Now 105.1 FM, we'll bring on our NBA insider, Chris Miles from NBA TV at 2:30. Special guests, I'm very much looking forward to having Impractical Joker star Sal Vulcano on the show. He's bringing his Everything's Fine comedy tour to Richmond, Virginia, the Carpenter Theater, tomorrow night. The Impractical Joker star will join us today at 2 p.m. Very much looking forward to that. 1 p.m., the Richmond Commander. The question today is, will the Commanders regress this season? But right now, last night we had the 2025 NBA draft, just round one, because this year they've made round two, its own special night tonight, and the Wizards will be on the clock once again at number 43 overall. Time to recap the draft on The Fast Break with AWOD.
Let's go. Let's play some basketball here.
We're going on a fast break with A1. From buzzer-beating shots to the best highlight plays from around the league, every clutch moment.
Stroking it from three.
The all-stars of the league. We're out in transition. It's a breakaway.
It's good at the buzzer.
It's the fast break and AWOD talking all things NBA.
So we spent most of yesterday's show hyping up Ace Bailey, the exciting prospect from Rutgers, who ended up going number 5 overall to Utah Jazz. Stubbs running the ones and twos today if you want to chime in. 833-804-0910. We've got our intern for the summer, Biff. So last night during the draft, at around pick 4, I said, I need to blow off some steam. I'm going to go for a walk because I just had a feeling that Ace Bailey would get selected. I didn't want to watch that happen on TV. I go out, walk around the block, I come back in, and he's immediately selected number 5 to the Utah Jazz. Of course Utah had to take a guy that refused to work out there. Danny Ainge just making moves behind the scenes there. He doesn't care. I'm sure he called the Wizards and said, if you want Bailey, you got to trade us an asset to move up one pick to get him, because we're not going to let a talent slip by us that's that good. So after Bailey went number 5, Washington was on the clock with number 6. Let's take a listen on ESPN.
With the 6th pick in the 2025 NBA draft, the Washington Wizards select Trey Johnson from the University of Texas.
Trey Johnson, the 6'5 guard out of Texas, sharing this moment with his dad, Richard, his mom, Priscilla, and of course his younger siblings as well.
I did love that his dad was a baller. So my initial reaction, I'm starting to get excited about the pick. He's not who I wanted, but I think he's going to be a solid player. Freshman of the year in the conference in the year, and that's all you need to know. You know, it's not like Texas had an incredible season, but he was the star in the SEC. I would describe him as a walking bucket. He's a great shooter, not a good shooter, a great shooter. And what's impressed me in the highlights, he has this insanely quick release. Like Steph Curry, Klay Thompson level quick release. I think he needs to grow stronger. He's got to get better at driving to the basket and definitely improve defensively. But, like, I think rookie season, sophomore year, by the end of that, he'll be 15 points per game in the NBA because he's just a straight scorer. My initial reaction was thumbs up. That is not an A-plus because it's not who I wanted, but I'll give it an A. Biff, what are your thoughts on this getting Trey Johnson out of Texas?
Yeah, man, I've always been a big fan of Trey Johnson. I think, like you said, he's an automatic scorer. He's one probably the best scorer in the draft. He averaged almost 20 points a game at Texas in a tough SEC. Led that Texas team as a freshman to a quarterfinal SEC and then lost to Xavier March Madness. But yeah, I mean, listen, I was happy about it. Obviously, you want Ace. I think he's got to work on his explosiveness towards the rim. I feel like he's a little weak when he's driving the lane. But overall, man, but when someone respects the three that he has, that defense is going to be trained on him for three-pointers. So this is a great opportunity to be able to work on the driven game, get into the lane, strong finishes as well. So I like the pick, especially where it's at.
Yeah, and you mentioned the NCAA tournament appearance there. Xavier's coach, who's now at Texas, went into like lengthy detail how difficult it was playing against Trey Johnson because he's a tough shot maker. He can pull up off the dribble. He can pull up off of a screen. He can pull off, in a kickout situation there. He's got like a nice little mid-range. He finds a way to put the ball in the hoop. I mean, some of his, scoring play highlights here, he just kind of shoots from anywhere on the court. It's kind of interesting the way he finds a way to score. He's got that quick release, but he can also kind of shoot off one foot. I want to know, can he play small forward? At 6'5", is he going to fit into what Washington is building? How do the current guys fit around him? Here's how I think the starting lineup will look next season. At point guard, it's Bub Carrington. It's pretty clear they think he has superstar potential. Like, this guy had a solid average. He shot more than 50% from the field. I mean, an exciting talent when he was at Pittsburgh. We actually had Jeff Capel on the show, and he told us how he thought Bub was going to be a star in Washington. But I think people forget, they traded up to get him at 14 overall last year. And he sat behind Jordan Poole for a lot of the year. The Jordan Poole trade was to give Bub Carrington opportunity to lead this franchise as the ball-dominant point guard. Are you excited for that?
What I'm most excited for, Bub, because he's so young, what he's so good at is the way he can control his dribble.
Yeah.
It's so impressive. His handle is probably one of the better handles I've seen on a Washington Wizards franchise that really has struggled to find that point guard.
You go back to John Wall,
yeah,
but he's might be even a better ball handler. It reminds me of Chris Paul, the way he can kind of push the ball into space and then pull up.
It's a tight, like a lot of basketball players say, it's on a string, right?
Yeah.
It's not far. He's not doing anything crazy. He's not street ball, but it's tight, and it gets to him to his spot. I think he can work on maybe getting to a spot and knocking down some certain I know he's when it's
he's got to extend the 3-point shot.
Yeah,
that's the big thing there. But maybe also going all the way to the basket and finishing over people because he is athletic. But he's your point guard of the future. Jordan Poole's gone. Shooting guard. All right, CJ McCollum comes in. I kind of think he's going to get rerouted before the start of the season. Or best case scenario, you let him go and average 29 points per game, trade him before the deadline to a desperate team, and you slide Trey Johnson then into shooting guard. Bilal Coulibaly will come back from injury at small forward. He will be in the starting lineup. He's their defensive specialist. He is their ace defensively, and hopefully he can grow into being a solid 3-and-D. I think Chris Middleton, like from what I heard from David Aldridge, they really like him as like a veteran that will teach the young guys. He's one of the best mid-range shooters in basketball.
Yep.
That's what you want Bub to add. That's what we want Trey Johnson to have in his game. So I think he starts at power forward, and then at center it's Alex Saar. And you have multiple tradable assets. Corey Kispert, I don't see him being part of this franchise when we eventually make the playoffs. CJ McCollum, you're going to reroute him. Marcus Smart, that's an interesting one right there because as much as everybody talked about how much they love playing with Marcus Smart, he was a great teammate, he's at the point in his career, he wants to be on a contender.
Yeah.
And I think they're going to do right by him. So they will eventually move on from, I think, those three guys. But Trey Johnson was the number 3 or 4 prospect on a lot of people's boards. And we got him at number 6. And unfortunately, we shouldn't have had the number 6 pick, but the stupid lottery screwed us. But for the number 6 pick, I think it's hard to argue anything below an A.
Yeah. No, there's nobody. Who else are you going to pick at 6, especially with the top 5 that went? I was surprised. I was never high on Con Knipple.
Right.
And when Con Knipple went, what, 3 or 4?
4, yeah.
I was like, oh. This one, I was about to text you. I was like, there's a chance. There's a chance we take, and I'm glad because I wasn't that high on Knipple. No bad things about Knipple, but
I just don't know he has superstar potential.
I think he lacks in athleticism. I think he's one of the better catch and shooters going to be in the league. But other than that, I don't know what he. I mean, he's got a good defense, but like
he benefited from having the number 1 overall pick and the number 1 overall prospect in the last 2 years on his team at Duke. If it wasn't for Cooper Flagg, Con Knipple doesn't get wide open shots. And if it wasn't for Cooper Flagg's drawing double teams, Knipple doesn't drive to the basket with that much confidence. It was like there was never a shot blocker there because they had to keep an eye on Cooper Flagg. Also really like, later on in the first round, they get Will Riley, a project piece out of Illinois. But Coach Brad Underwood thought he is going to be incredible. He says he's got a very high IQ. He's one of the elite hard shot makers I've ever coached. Just has the ability to put the ball in the basket. So kind of feels like Washington grabbed two guys that know how to score to go along with the 2 or 3 guys they have that are really good defenders. So I think they have a good mix of defense, scoring, and young talent.
Will Riley out of Illinois, I remember I watched his first game. He had 30 the first game, and this guy is an all-around scorer.
Yeah,
he's all-around. He's pretty close to 7 feet. He's, 6'8"?
Let's see what he's listed here. 6'10", maybe 6'9". Yeah,
yeah, I mean, he's a tall, lengthy shooter who I think is like almost the exact opposite of Alex Saar in a way, where he's probably playing that small forward, power forward role. But if I have Alex Saar as protector in the paint and kind of that dominating down low, and you have Will Riley out on the perimeter knocking down shots, the way I think Will Riley can play, I think that can help Washington really out. But I think his size and his defense is what I'm worried about.
With the current roster right now, I think Bub Carrington's your number 1. I think Bilal Coulibaly's your number 2. I think there's a chance Trey Johnson is ahead of Alex Saar as your number 3. I kind of think Saar is going to take some time to really develop. He's got a good 3-point shot, but he's got to work on so many other parts of his game. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio. here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM, live and local in Richmond, Virginia, here on a Thursday, June 26th, as we cruise through bit season with not much going on in the sports world. You guys know I like to call it list season, and Jimmy Kempski strikes again from the Philly Voice with his latest list. Does this every single year. Let me just do a little background on this. Jimmy Kempski works for Philly Voice. He covers the Eagles. He doesn't like Washington. He doesn't like Dallas. He doesn't like the New York Giants. Every year, he comes out with a list, 10 reasons the blank will be a dumpster fire this season, and he does one for the Dallas Cowboys, the New York Giants, and the Washington Commanders. And personally, I love the bit. Like, as a guy who covers Philadelphia, that's a brilliant plan. I wish I came up with something like that to just completely poo on every team in the division every single year. And he pisses off the fan base, and he gets 100 clicks, and it's a great bit. But somehow every year, I let him get to me because I love this team so much. And so every time I read this list, my blood starts to boil. If I have a heart attack on air, it's going to be because of Jimmy Kempski from Philly Voice. 10 reasons the Commanders will be a dumpster fire this season. With the subline, the Commanders made it to the NFC title game last year. Do they have another run in them? Well, number one, he points to regression. Regression is coming. And I kind of gave you my spit take reaction to that with Michael here on Crosstalk, which is, yeah, it's coming because it's just most likely going to happen when you win 12 games. But I'd be fine with 10 and a playoff win. Regression is coming? Sure. That's not going to get me fired up. Not going to piss me off. But we won 12 games. We haven't done that basically in my lifetime. So I'm very happy with the success we had. I think we're going to build off of that. But 10 wins and a playoff berth? That's a regression that I can live with. I can live with. He points out that last year's improvement was the biggest win total improvement in the NFL, and it tied for ninth best since the NFL went to a 16-game schedule in 1978. Of the teams he listed, as I pointed out, none of these teams were from the year 2020 on, which is funny because that's actually the last time Washington got into the postseason, year one of the Ron Rivera era. But for example, I'll give you, he points out the 1999 Indianapolis Colts, who went 13-3, and the year 2000, they went 10-6. A three-loss regression. 2008, Miami Dolphins, 11-5. Next year, 7-9. A four-loss regression. And in fact, he points to about 15 teams that have regressed. There's only one team that improved. The 1997 Jets went from 9-7 to 12-4 after making that massive leap the year before. That was a 1-15 awful franchise. So, is regression happening for Washington? Maybe. I mean, is it the way we're winning? Is it unsustainable? I would argue we need to be able to run the ball more with our running backs. But I think what Jaden Daniels did, it's sustainable. He points to the fact that we got lucky breaks in 2024. Yeah, we called a Hail Mary. Yeah, we came from behind against the Eagles with five touchdowns from Jaden Daniels. And yeah, we had to win five games in a row on the final play of the game. But are we going to say that the 2024 Kansas City Chiefs had lucky breaks when they won all those games by 3 points or less? Are we going to say that the New England Patriots dynasty, every year they had Tom Brady, had lucky breaks because he would drive them down the field to win the game with a field goal late? You know, I don't think that's lucky breaks as much as it is good teams close out games. That's been our issue my entire life. We've never been a good team to close out a game. I think a lot of that is we've never had the quarterback. Quarterbacks close out games. When they have an opportunity with the ball in their hands, the best quarterbacks make game-winning plays. So I think we overperformed last year, but I also think with Jaden Daniels, we could still win a lot of tight games. Then he points to the overloaded aging veterans. Lattimore, Debo, Tunsil, Wagner, Eckler. I'll give you Eckler. I'll give you Bobby Wagner. I think everybody else is going to step up. I'm very excited for Marshon Lattimore to shut the haters up. And some of them are in the DMV who wanted him traded, who wanted him cut. I felt like it was such an unfair situation for him last year, going from a terrible team, New Orleans, to Washington, dealing with an injury, and then being asked to go up against Mike Evans and A.J. Brown. No thank you. No thank you. What about Jaden Daniels and him regressing? He was dynamic in year one, and a lot of rookies struggle in year two. Sophomore struggles. I don't think Jaden will struggle if he's not asked to carry the offense fully. And that's why the offensive line improvement will help the running game. And the Deebo Samuel signing is going to make Jaden's life so much easier. As he even pointed out, he's excited to throw a screen pass and have Deebo take it 80 yards to the house. We didn't have that guy last year, whether it was De'Ami Brown or Olamide Zaccheaus. They shouldn't even be in the same sentence as Deebo Samuel. And I love Olamide Zaccheaus. He's not Deebo Samuel. He points to defensive weaknesses in the secondary, in the run game. I'm not listening to that, because that, to me, is Dan Quinn knows that. Dan Quinn's aware of that. Dan Quinn's not going to let that be the issue second year in a row. We brought in a defensive-minded coach to make sure that would be the quickest side of the ball that we could improve on. And defensively, I think Dan Quinn realized when he got here that Ron Rivera had way more headaches than he realized. They moved on from Emmanuel Forbes, right? They brought in Marshawn Lattimore. They moved on from the kid out of Kentucky, Jamin Davis. They moved on from basically everybody that Ron Rivera had on defense. And they brought in Frankie Louvu and Bobby Wagner. And so I just felt like, statistically, what you saw from the defense last year, it's not fair to put that on Dan Quinn. I'm putting that on Ron Rivera. And I don't think the defense is going to be as weak this season. Then they point to the front office aggression could backfire. If Laremy Tunsil is a miss, if Deebo Samuel is a miss, fine. I think they're going to be home runs. If not, they're going to be ground rule doubles. Like, Laremy Tunsil is going to be a stud. Deebo Samuel's playing on a contract year. And it's not like we gave up, you know, the farm to get them. So why won't the Commanders regress in 2025? Jaden Daniels isn't your typical quarterback. He's older. He's more experienced. That should help limit the amount of sophomore slump games he has. The roster is better, not older. It's better. And that is simple right there when you talk about the additions of Laremy Tunsil, when you talk about Deebo Samuel. I think you could talk about Will Harris. You could talk about Dietrich Wise, Javon Kinlaw as well. And then the last thing for me is, look, we've got smart leaders. Bobby Wagner still has something left in the tank. I think Zach Ertz still has something left in the tank. Jaden Daniels is getting better. I don't think he's going to take a step back as much as defenses are going to focus on him, because I've told you all offseason long, I truly think Adam Peters has done enough so that Jaden Daniels will improve, because Jaden won't have to throw the ball as quick with an improved offensive line. And really, it's like Jimmy Kempski didn't pay attention to our improved offensive line, because we've talked about this. It's not just Laremy Tunsil. It's Laremy Tunsil plus Brandon Coleman sliding inside, plus an exciting right tackle that you drafted in Josh Connerly, plus an improved play from Tyler Biadasz, plus Sam Cosmi returning from injury. And we've heard good news from that he is working through what was a terrible injury. So I think our offensive line last year was like a 79, and I think it could be an 89 or a 90 this year. And then you just, I hate this whole thing of lucky wins. No, that's clutch execution in key moments. And that's something that Jaden Daniels and Cliff Kingsbury worked on all season long, from training camp to the postseason. I told you guys, and I'm excited to go to training camp this year. I know Michael was talking about it. My biggest takeaway from training camp last year was when Dan Quinn gave the ball to Jaden Daniels at the 50-yard line. He put 50 seconds on the clock, and he said, "You're down by 5. 50, 50, and 5. And he said, "Go win the game for me, 5. Go win it for me, Jaden 5. And I watched him, without even playing a snap in the regular season or preseason, drive down the field, miss a throw to Zach Ertz on third down, and then connect with him in the back of the end zone on fourth down. That was in late July. You know what we saw last year against the Atlanta Falcons in December? The exact same play. That was how they got so good at those situations right? Situational awareness. They worked on it all offseason long. They're going to continue to work on it this offseason, training camp, mini camp, and as we get towards the regular season with some preseason action. We'll get maybe one drive from Jaden in preseason game one, maybe a quarter in game two, and he will not suit up for preseason game three. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. So that is day one, list number one from Jim McKemski's 10 reasons the Commanders will be a dumpster fire this season. We'll give you number two tomorrow on The Fan. Don't go anywhere. Don't touch that dial. I'll be right back. Welcome back to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. Richmond's home for the most local sports talk in town, and you can take the show with you on the go with the free Odyssey app. But I am very excited to welcome in a very special guest joining us right now on the Hadid Mercer Rug Cleaning Hotline, comedian, widely known for Impractical Jokers, one of my favorite shows to watch. Sal Vulcano is with us right now on the hotline. What's going on, Sal?
How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing great, man. So good to get you on the show today. And you're coming to Richmond for the Carpenter Theater. You'll be here June 27th. Is this your first time to Richmond? Have you been here before? What's it going to be like, man?
Yeah, I've been to Richmond before with the group tour. I don't believe I've been there before solo, and it's been a minute, so I am psyched to come back.
So let's just dive into that right now, because I'm sure a lot of my listeners know your beautiful face from Impractical Jokers and all the funny skits and bits that you guys have done. But how have you made this transition to, you know, improv comic to stand-up comic, doing it on your own?
Yeah. I mean, I've been doing stand-up a very long time. And I've been touring, you know, for, geez, since, I guess, the last maybe 8 years. I did some stand-up out of college, and then I got into improv and sketch, and then I got into television, and then about 2016, I was just like, I want to get back into stand-up, so I started, you know, performing and touring again. I came out with a special last year called Terrified. It's on HBO Max now, and this is a whole new hour of material from that. So I'm touring all the way through 2026, and this will be my next special eventually, so...
That's super exciting. Sal Vulcano with us here on the Hadid Mercer Rug Cleaning Hotline. So I want to get a little bit about your history, because you kind of popped into my world watching March Madness, and then True TV showed up with Impractical Jokers, and I was like, oh my, I can't turn this off, episode after episode. So how did you kind of get your start into TV, comedy, and all of that?
So, I mean, the guys and I from the show, we met, we were the same exact age. We met all in our freshman year of high school. Boys Catholic High School in Staten Island in 1990. And then after college, we were all kind of doing improv and sketch comedy, and we decided to perform a comedy troupe. And then for 10 or 12 years, we were doing comedy in and around New York City. And then we landed a television show. We entered some sketches online to this competition that NBC was having, and we got an agent from that. And then from there, we just started pitching shows, and we thought of Impractical Jokers and pitched it, and they liked it, and it was kind of off to the races from there. That was all the way back in 2010.
Well, I didn't know that you guys knew each other. I mean, that's your secret sauce right there, because you're obviously not faking it. I mean, I was going to ask, when did you know your chemistry together was something special? But it seems like that's pretty obvious, given the fact that you have this long history of knowing each other.
Oh, yeah, man. We met 35 years ago, and we were friends way before we started doing comedy together, and we were doing comedy together way before we got the television show. So that is definitely the secret sauce, so to speak, as you put it.
Comedian Sal Vulcano from Impractical Jokers is bringing his Everything's Fine tour to the Carpenter Theater in Richmond, Virginia on June 27th. It is his second solo stand-up tour, which kicked off in November 2024. I'm looking forward to this. And Sal, I always feel like hosting a talk radio show, I'm at it for 3 hours every day. I feel like sometimes I have to try to be a comedian and entertain people. But Sal, I've been told 1,000 times, I'm only funny when I'm not trying to be funny. So how do you know when you've come up with something good? Do you practice a bit on Friends? Like, how do you know it's actually good?
I guess, according to that, I just never try. That's the secret is to give little to no effort at it. That's the secret. I perform every night in Manhattan, New York City. So that's just the grind of it. You know, I'm writing and rewriting, and you know, I'm performing sometimes 4, 5, 6 times a night in New York City, a few nights a week. So when I come on the road, this stuff has already been kind of worked out a bit. So so the show on the road is basically much more polished.
Can you give us a taste of what people will see at the Everything's Fine tour at the Carpenter Theater in Richmond? Is this you doing crowd work? Are you telling stories? What is your stand-up routine going to be like?
Yeah, all the above. I usually start off with some crowd work. Just I like to get to know, like, you know, the vibe and the people there, warm them up a little bit. But it's not a crowd work show by any means. I'll do like 10, 15 minutes up top. And then I do a big chunk on just, you know, just bits and stuff like that, and observational stuff and state of the world stuff. Nothing political, nothing controversial. Mine is escapism. My show is like silly. I just want everyone to come in, forget about all the BS, and just laugh. And this is the first tour I'm actually speaking about my actual family. I've never done that. I've been in the public eye like almost 15 years, and I've been really private, but I kind of wanted to talk about my family now. So for the first time ever on any platform, like whether it's television or my podcast or the last special, I've never really spoken on my personal family, like my immediate family. And the last half hour of this show is all about that.
For more information on the tour, visit SaulVolcanoComedy.com. The Everything's Fine tour coming to the Carpenter Theater in Richmond, Virginia, this Friday, June 27th. So what is your family like? I mean, so you're growing up in the New York area?
Yeah, born and raised in New York City, Staten Island, yeah.
So I just recently saw the beautiful Netflix film Nona. Is that like your family at all there with a grandmother helping everybody cook and teaching the recipes?
Yeah, that's similar. It's definitely similar. It's funny, that restaurant, I grew up just a couple of blocks from it, which is really funny. But yeah, you know, I have my Italian side of the family and my Spanish side of the family, and growing up was very much like that, like all hands on deck kind of stuff. But I also am speaking now about like my wife and my daughter and things like that. So, and my home life, my immediate home life. So it's kind of crazy, like, you know, having her being born and all that other stuff. So new experience for me. And I was like, I have to talk about this on stage, you know? So.
Yeah. So I got to tell you, Sal. So my girlfriend's sister just got married, and so my girlfriend's Nona, her grandmother, stayed with us for the weekend, and she spoiled me cooking chicken cutlets or Sunday gravy with rigatine. I mean, just all these amazing things. And now I'm like, oh my goodness, now I'm under pressure to come up with some crazy things to cook, because just watching her, it was unbelievable. You know, I grew up from a Jewish family in Northern Virginia. My grandparents didn't have good recipes like my girlfriend's Nona. And so I was spoiled this last week, Sal.
Oh, man, that's the one thing we got right going for us is that food. It's the best thing in the world. You know, it's ironic too, because I can't cook for the life of me. I don't have it in me. I never really picked up on it, but I luckily I have people in my family that do. And as you could tell, I'm a healthy eater.
Well, Sal, you've had so much success with Impractical Jokers. I'm sure, just like Impractical Jokers, your comedy tour is going to be fantastic. When you think about that show and the work you've done on that, do you realize how many other shows have tried to steal from you guys? I feel like all these dumb YouTubers are doing stunts in public, and it's never as funny as the work that you guys do at Impractical Jokers.
I do appreciate that. I mean, I guess it's a form of flattery. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I guess we had something that inspired other people, which is a good thing, you know? Some of it is kind of silly stuff, but... yeah, you know, they've made like 30 other versions of our show in other countries. so they, you know, they're still going. Like sometimes I'll go on a vacation far, far away just to like, oh, let me get a break, and I'll walk into the hotel room and I'll turn on TV and it's me dubbed in another language, so, which is kind of entertaining in and of itself.
That's hilarious. Comedian Sal Volcano with us here on the Hadid Mercer Rug Cleaning Hotline. He will be at the Carpenter Theater in Richmond June 27th for his Everything's Fine tour. So can you kind of take me back to when you pitched these ideas for Impractical Jokers and how you landed on TV? Because it is such a wild idea to just kind of go into public and do stunts, improv, and make people laugh. What was it like pitching that to higher-up executives?
It was kind of crazy. Like, we've had a lot of failed shows and a lot of failed ideas, and we had a round of what they call these general meetings. So this is kind of like you meet the people, you would just establish a relationship so they can keep you in mind for the future. And they set up a bunch of us, a bunch of those for us with the networks. And it was like not even, it was less than a week before those meetings. And we were like, why don't we go in and pitch them something anyway? Instead of just meeting them, let's go in and have something ready. And so we went to lunch. This was about 5 days before that first meeting. And we thought of three ideas over lunch. And one of them was Impractical Jokers. And we went to Times Square, the four of us, with just our cell phones. And we filmed, like, little bits of it. We cut it together, brought that into the meeting a few days later. And that week we met with about five or six networks, and two of them were MTV and True TV, and they offered to buy the show in the room, in the pitch room, which never, ever, it hasn't happened before, it hasn't happened since, and I've pitched 100 shows, which is kind of wild. So the idea for the show, the conceit of it, we didn't even have it 5 days before we pitched it. So this was just right place, right time, right spark of inspiration, and opportunity meets luck, and all that great, great stuff. And 15 years later, here we are.
That's such a great story. It's inspirational. Who did you look up to as a kid? Was there a comedian, maybe a group of movies that inspired you to get into comedy?
You know, as a kid, I used to watch The Jeffersons with my grandparents, and I just thought George Jefferson was the funniest person on the planet, and I used to like memorize like Jefferson's episodes and perform them at school and stuff. And you know, as a kid, you know, I mean, my dad had the Eddie Murphy, a lot of Eddie Murphy movies, and that was definitely something I probably shouldn't have been watching at that age, but I did. I watched all of his movies, and I thought Eddie Murphy was a really big one, and a little Pee Wee Herman inspired me as a little kid. I was all over the place. I mean, if you go from Pee-wee Herman to Eddie Murphy, you can see that I ran the spectrum of comics for inspiration, for sure.
Man, that's so terrific. Thanks so much for joining me today. That is Sal Vocano, best known for co-creating, executive producing, and starring in one of the most recognized comedy shows of all time, Impractical Jokers. It's got its 12th season coming up this summer, but he'll be in Richmond June 27th. For the Everything's Fine tour at the Carpenter Theater in Richmond, Virginia, June 27th. Sal, thanks so much for the time, man. I appreciate it. Keep kicking ass, dude.
I appreciate you, man. Thank you so much.
That is Sal Vocano. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio on The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back, and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio. here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. We've been discussing the NBA draft round one with round two tonight. It's time to bring in the expert on the Hadid Mercer Rug Cleaning Hotline from NBA TV. It's our friend Chris Miles. What's going on, Chris?
Oh, man. I mean, we had a game seven, and everybody's like, let's travel from game seven to go to the NBA draft. I can't remember the last time, and I wonder if we looked in history, like, when we've had the end of a season roll up right to the NBA draft, because that was kind of crazy.
Yeah, no, I mean, the NBA has dominated the month of June. It's been pretty cool. Let me start with this. If you were, you know, in charge of a franchise, what would have been your picks 1, 2, 3 in order this year? Did they get it right with 1, 2, 3, Edgecombe 3 to the Sixers?
Well, so you have to understand this particular class. I mean, I've been watching these kids play for years, and for each team, I feel like they nailed the draft. And I don't necessarily believe that those are the 1, 2, 3 best prospects. So I'm not with a consensus that Dylan Harper is like way better than Ace Bailey. I think Ace Bailey went to the best team for him in the Utah Jazz, and that, like, under, you know, Danny Ainge and his son, that they've kind of got it figured out, and they need a leading scorer so he can go be that. I think VJ Edgecombe is a high character guy. Reminds me a lot of Victor Oladipo. I've seen that comp out there. I agree with that. So I really like him going to Philly because they have some locker room issues. And for the Mavs, I mean, Cooper Flagg fits in perfectly. So, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, including, I mean, even up to 10, like the Phoenix Suns getting Common Malawat. I really like most of the picks in the top 10.
Chris, our buddy Chase Hughes posted that Bet Online has Trey Johnson second best odds to win NBA Rookie of the Year. What do you think of the Wizards pick?
I almost cursed. I would put him first. Who do they have over him?
Cooper Flagg.
This, like, so here's the thing. Let's understand a few things. Trey's a walking bucket. And he's going to come into a team that needs scoring. Right? Like, and Cooper's going to a situation where, like, the last thing they need is him to put up stats. Mm-hmm. So I could see Cooper, like, being, I mean, he's going to be really good. They're going to win games. But, like, this is a team the previous year was, you know, in the NBA Finals. So it's like, all right, like, you're bringing him into the mix to win. He's not going to get a lot of credit for the wins if Anthony Davis is healthy and Kyrie Irving comes back. And they still have that mid-level exception. So if they bring in, like, D'Angelo Russell or Chris Paul or Malcolm Brogdon, like, all of those things take away from what the Mavs need from Cooper. And Trey Johnson's walking into a situation where, like, we need someone to score 20 a night. Oh, here's the perfect fix. So I think if I had to put it up, I would go Trey Johnson, Ace Bailey, Cooper Flagg would be my 1, 2, 3 for, like, the situations and who should win Rookie of the Year.
I love hearing that. Chris Miles from NBA TV with us on the Hadid Mercer Rug Cleaning Hotline. Can you put on your Wizards hat here and pretend you're the general manager? You're Michael Winger, Will Dawkins here working behind the scenes. Walk me through why you traded Jordan Poole. How does CJ McCollum be part of this roster? And how does Trey Johnson and then the other pick they made out of Illinois as well work into the lineup?
Yeah, so Will Riley is one of those guys where he kind of reminds me of AJ in the sense of, like, his developmental stage, not as far as game, but like AJ Johnson and the kid that they drafted at the end of the first round last year, right? And I'm like, okay, I think it's going to take him a while to get better. But when I look at just in general what they're doing, you said as far as the trade, I think that's a character trade. And there's no – I don't mean any disrespect towards – Jordan Poole, but, like, we all kind of know Jordan Poole's reputation. CJ McCollum is looked at as, like, one of the best teammates in the NBA. He's on an expiring contract, so the Wizards have, like, gotten off of Kyle Kuzma and Jordan Poole as far as, like, who they are in the locker room and their contracts. And I just think when you're bringing in young players that, you know, they're learning to be professionals, I think having guys like CJ McCollum around, you know, Chris Middleton, I don't know if he'll be around once the season starts, but guys like that help those young players come in and understand what's expected of them.
Yeah, I'm with you there. So another part of the Jordan Poole trade is it should free up Bub Carrington to be the primary ball handler for the Washington Wizards. Do you think he has superstar potential from what you've seen just 1 year from Bub Carrington?
Man, he said superstar. So I don't know. That's like a different like to me. If you ask me if a guy has superstar potential, I have to see the star potential first.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying he doesn't, but that's like a leap I'm not willing to take yet. I do think that he's a starting guard in the NBA, and so is Trey Johnson. So you got two guys that, yes, those are the two foundational pieces in the backcourt. Work around that. I love Bilal Coulibaly in general, especially if like he's not being asked to score as much as Trey Johnson is. And then Sarr, you know, ended up being an amazing pick last year. That's one I was skeptical about. And he just got better and better and better. So, yeah, man, I love Bub next to them. But I don't – and that's kind of the thing I was saying about the Wizards. They need to get guys who they're trying to figure out who's going to be the star of the team.
Yeah.
Trey Johnson could be that answer. Or whoever they draft next year, right? Like, they should be bad another year. But Trey Johnson has the potential to be that answer. I don't know if Bub Carrington is going to be the best guy on this team, and that's okay. They got to figure that out.
Yeah, and that's kind of why I wanted Ace Bailey. I wanted to take a shot that on a guy I do believe has superstar potential. So you look at what the Wizards have right now. What's the the best case scenario that one of these guys pops? Is it Alex Sarr? Is it Bilal Coulibaly?
Well,
you know,
hold on. Ace Bailey and Trey Johnson are same level to me.
Okay. Okay, so you think Trey Johnson could be the alpha that leads this team to the postseason in two or three years?
So here's the thing. Trey is the bucket. So I'll say this. He's a walking bucket. I called one of his high school games, and the kid scored 8 points in 11 seconds, right? Like, I can send you the interview, and when he answered the question, I was like, yeah, I do this all the time. He had one of the best, like, he looked like, if not the best shooter, one of the best shooters at the NBA Combine. Here's the other thing. VJ Ashcombe is definitively like, oh, he's the best athlete in this draft. Go look at the numbers. Trey Johnson was the closest to VJ athletically as far as speed and vertical and all of those things. But, like, the way he plays, you wouldn't know that because he's such a good shooter. So, like, imagine getting one of the top 3 to 4, athletes at the guard position in a draft who also could shoot. So, if you ask me, Chris, what's the pecking order you think? I think Trey Johnson is going to be the leading scorer on the team going forward, and that's typically who people look at as being the best player.
Can you give us a current modern-day NBA comparison for Trey Johnson?
I remember being asked this before he stepped on the court in college, before he went to Texas. And it's not the same game, but I think same level of scoring. It's kind of like Devin Booker, but he doesn't play the same game.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say his ceiling would be Devin Booker's like career as a scorer in the NBA.
Are there any guys that you like a lot that will be drafted tonight?
Nope. Don't know anything about these second-round guys. So many guys backed out. I mean, I'm serious. Like, I was like, oh, this guy could go in a second. Oh, he's going back to school. And that's kind of interesting about the NIL. And that's kind of why you see all these, like, second-round picks floating around.
Yeah.
Because, man, there's a kid that went back to, I want to say it was, like, Indiana or something, where I think he transferred. Whatever it was, like, he got $4.7 million to go back to college.
Right.
And he was the projected second-round pick. And he's like, well, why would I go to the NBA? Right, like, I'll get non-guaranteed money where I can play in college for another year or two. I can't think of his name, though, and I remember seeing that reported because they told him he was going either late first round or early second round. He's like, I'm going back to college. Like, what are we doing here?
Yeah, it's crazy at the amount of money in college basketball. Chris, before we let you go, we've seen Kevin Durant get traded. We saw the Celtics make a move. The Wizards make a move. Have you heard any rumors? Can you give us some reports or maybe some rumors that would get us excited here? Because I think there's going to be more trades maybe before the end of June.
I mean, there's so much buzz around Jaylen Brown. That would be – him and Giannis would be the ones that people are like, what? But they're saying Giannis is not going to get traded. But I would look at teams that are still kind of going for it. or teams that need to figure it out. And the Cavs have, the Cleveland Cavaliers have been really quiet. And the fact that they've underachieved the last 2 years after really good regular seasons, they made a coaching change last year. You got to look at that group and go, okay, so what now? And man, I feel like the Cavs are going to make a move that should be one of those things where we go, man, they went and got who? Or man, they went and moved who? That's kind of the team I'm looking for. And, you know, once free agency starts, you really get another interesting wave. So that'll happen in a couple days here. So Monday and Tuesday next week should be crazy. I mean, you remember the Paul George trade. Mm-hmm. That didn't happen at the draft. That happened during free agency. So that's something I like. Have my finger on the pulse of that, and you know, I'm happy to be surprised and excited by whoever moves.
Rockets won 52 games, end up as the 2 seed, and then make a major trade. Are you expecting them to be a top 4 seed in the West again with Kevin Durant?
Absolutely. I mean, I liked what they did before, you know, and seeing them go get Durant, they had like one major need, and they're still figuring out their pecking order, and Amen Thompson really started to break, you know, into that mold. But, man, they struggle to find a closer. They struggle to find, like, efficiency scoring at different points in the year. So I think going to make this trade for Kevin Durant addresses those issues. And they still have, like, all of these pieces to make other moves. So I wouldn't be surprised if they're still active.
Chris, thanks so much for the time, man. Really appreciate it.
Yes, sir.
You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vien and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes of, a Crime House original.
Crimes of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.